would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. This is one of the most pivotal nights in our church's year.
Yes, right.
And I think you'll see why here in a moment as we dig into this passage. Many of you here like sports. I love sports. I wouldn't call myself an athlete, but I like playing them. I like trying to play them. And I was thinking earlier about what the most physical sports are. What are the most physical sports that you can think of? A lot of people think football. It can be fairly violent. There's a lot of one-on-one. There's a lot of strength, a lot of brute strength involved. One thing about football is it requires strength or short bursts of strength. You get time off. You get some plays off. You get a half off. You have the commercials, especially if it's on game. So you're using this strength in short bursts. It can be violent. It can be very brutal. It can require a lot of strength. I'll tell you one sport that it isn't, and some of you are probably going to roll your eyes here. It's not soccer. Now, soccer, all you do is run down the field and act like you trip people and then fall on the ground and whine and act like you're hurt. It doesn't require that much strength. Now, I know there's some people who are here who really like soccer. It does require a lot of skill and endurance. But as far as brute strength, it really doesn't require that. I thought about this. There are many other sports that require skill. Some of them require strength. But if I were to kind of narrow it down to two, I would say that the two sports that require the most strength, that are the most physically demanding, would be boxing and wrestling. Now, boxing, you wouldn't think it would be that taxing, but it really is. If you've ever put boxing gloves on and just tried to go at it for 3 minutes, you will not believe how hard it is. And wrestling is much the same way. It's strength on strength, especially if you think about wrestling. It's strength on strength. It's a mixture of skill, muscle, and desperation. Because you will get hurt if you do not watch out. It drains you. Wrestling is something that you could describe as one-on-one, glory for the victor and shame for the loser. In wrestling, you have no team. And no, I don't count tag team wrestling that you have in fake wrestling. It's not the same thing. You have no team in wrestling. It is one-on-one. It's up personal. It's up close. It's personal. Now, if it is indeed one of the hardest, and I think it is, I think it's very telling that Paul is going to use an analogy here in Ephesians 6 that deals with wrestling. He compares wrestling with the spiritual struggle that we have as we go out to tell others about Christ. He compares it with the spiritual struggle that we have as we go day to day. This is a familiar passage. But I'm praying that God will give us some fresh insight here as we look at it. So look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 10 through 13. And then we're going to skip down and read verses 18 through 19. This is what he says. And this sermon by design is going to be short because we want to finish, or we want to spend our time focused on prayer here. So look, if you will, in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and he goes on to a description of the armor, move down, if you will, to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's ask for God's help here tonight as we dive into His Word. Father, I come to You, the weakest of men, for this task. This is a spiritual task, and I do not have the spiritual strength that's needed. But Lord Jesus, I believe that You do. You sent Your Spirit to help us. You sent Your Spirit to fill us and to enable us to teach and preach the Word. And so I ask now, Spirit of God, that You would fill me, that You would enable me. I declare my dependence on You. Lord, I ask that you would take this familiar passage and that you would apply it to our hearts in a fresh way, and that you would show us the importance of what we are undertaking here. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for the glory of His kingdom. Amen. There are two groups that we're really going to look at here tonight. We're going to talk, first of all, to the Good News Club workers and what you are up against. And then we're going to talk to the saints who are here, those who will support them. Now, Paul uses this picture of wrestling. He actually has two pictures going on here. He has a picture of a soldier. He has a picture of wrestling. Now, you don't think of soldiers wrestling. They have all of the armor on, and that's not something they would normally do. I think what Paul is trying to do is draw this picture of how up close and intense and how personal the battle is that we face. And so as he starts to draw that picture, he uses this picture of wrestling. Wrestling was popular in Paul's day. It was one of the major sports that they engaged in. And the word simply means a struggle, a contest between two people, one of them trying to throw the other. And it is decided when one gets the other on the ground and has his foot or his hand on the other person's neck. So this isn't something that you're playing around with. In that day, it was serious. It was a very intense and personal struggle. Good news workers, let me tell you. Let me be very blunt with you right now. You are entering a very real and personal struggle this year. I find in my own life that something that I do a lot, that I start to go through the motions on it. And it's easy to just say, well, this is what I've always done, and I'll do this, and I'll run off of what I've always done in the past, instead of going to God fresh every time, saying, God, I need your help for this battle right now. It happens with Vacation Bible School. We've done it so often, it's just easy to go through the motions on it. But this is something we have to understand is a very intense and personal struggle. Let me remind you of what you face. You are entering a spiritual struggle. And Paul tells us here that our opponent is clear. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And he goes on and gives this list of entities or these list of personalities that we fight. Our opponent is clear. It is Satan. It is his demons. Sometimes it is easy for us, when we're engaged in personal work, to think that it's the people that we are struggling with. But it is not the people that we are struggling with. We are struggling with the one who has their hearts and who has their minds. And we have to keep that in mind. If we are struggling on merely a fleshly level with people, we will not succeed. It is a spiritual battle that we face week in and week out. It feels sometimes when you're struggling with that stubborn or rebellious child in Good News Club, it feels like the struggle is with them. It is not. We've never had an issue, but if we were to ever have an administrator that causes problems, sometimes it would feel like it would be the county or the administrator who is causing the problem, or that is the person we are struggling with. It is not. Our struggle is with the enemy. Our struggle is against Satan and his demons who are fiercely fighting to keep children from escaping the wrath of Almighty God. That is who we are fighting. Because he knows the moment they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he has lost one of his children and they are in God's hand and they will never be taken out again. It is a death match for Satan. And we are fooling ourselves if we think we can waltz in week after week and just go through the motions of Good News Club. Your lunch will be eaten by the devil if that happens. Do we understand that every child there, no matter how sweet, no matter how kind, that child is by nature a child of disobedience? That child is by nature a child of wrath. That's not me saying that, that's Paul. Turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul here is giving a contrast between what we were before we were saved and what we are after we're saved. And he says in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says it is Satan's spirit that works in them. He's the one that makes them the children of disobedience. He is their child. And you are going into that school by God's grace to make them God's child. Notice what he says in verse 3, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. This isn't a popular message to preach today, that even one so small could be a child of wrath, but that is the reality. We are born in sin, and unless they hear the good news, unless they receive the good news, they are destined for the eternal wrath of Almighty God. If you don't fight hard, Satan will. Verse 12, I believe, and just because of the length of the sermon, we don't have time to go into all these different levels, but you could use verse 12 to summarize all the levels of satanic opposition that you will encounter as you seek the souls of children. That is just a summary of all the levels of opposition that you face. The opponent is clear. You are entering an intense spiritual struggle. The opponent is clear, and the struggle next is intense. Paul didn't use racing here as the analogy. He does use racing as an analogy, doesn't he? Several times in the Scripture he talks about running a race, but he didn't choose that analogy. You know, racing is taxing. In the past few years, I've started to try and race some. I don't really race. I just try and run and hopefully beat a few people. But it can be intense. And it is draining, but it is nothing on the level of wrestling. He doesn't use that picture. It's an intense struggle. And listen, it will be easy this year to let up and to mail it in. But I'm going to tell you, Satan will not let up. Satan won't mail it in. If you do mail it in, if you go through the motions, you will not be effective in reaching those children. If you go through the motions, you will be beat, and you will be beat soundly and quickly. Wrestling is intense. This struggle is intense. You know, Paul's analogy to these early believers might have been a little bit shocking. Because wrestling then is a little bit different than wrestling now. It's definitely different than wrestling. But it's different than even wrestling that we have, the Greco-Roman style that we have, or the freestyle wrestling that we have. There is some indication that in those days when they would wrestle, that the loser would have his eyes gouged out, especially if you were in an important match. When the match was over, if you lost, as a sign of shame, you had your eyes gouged out. It was an all-out effort tinged with desperation. The picture they had in their mind was somebody who was fighting for their very eyes, if you will, if that is indeed historically accurate. Now let me tell you, dear workers, you are not in danger of losing your eyes. But children are in danger of losing their souls if you lollygag through this. That's how intense the struggle is. One other thing that Paul tells us here is that the struggle requires strength. That's what he says in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the way that the Authorized Version puts it here, it says, be strong. And some people might misunderstand that as encouraging self-effort at being strong. You get yourself psyched up. You get yourself geared up, and you go in, and you beat the devil. It's kind of like watching someone before a football game. Have you ever seen some of these nuts before football games? How they'll start dancing around and shaking their heads and throwing towels in the air and going crazy. You can't psych yourself up before you go to Good News Club and expect that to work. He says that we are to be strong in the Lord. But if you were to look at this in the original, it's very interesting. The original language has this idea in it of something to where you can be active. You are the one who is doing it. Or you can be passive. It is something that you are allowing to happen to you. This is in the passive voice. So what it means is allow yourself to be strengthened in the Lord. In other words, you go to Him and allow yourself to be strengthened. You allow Him to bring His strength through you. And it's present tense. Keep allowing this. It's not something that you do one time. God, would you strengthen me? It's time after time after time. It's going to Him and it's allowing Him to be the one who does the strengthening. Be strengthened in His mighty power. You will not win. You will never, ever, 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 ever one time win a battle against Satan in your own physical strength. You will not win a battle against the devil in your flesh. He is supernatural. He has more power than you. You will not beat Him in your strength, but you will conquer Him and you will vanquish Him in the strength of Jesus Christ. Actually, you won't be the one who does the conquering and vanquishing. Jesus will do the conquering and vanquishing. He's already won that battle. He's already stepped in and done that. In God's strength, you can go into that school and be a super conqueror. More than a conqueror. What he's saying here is depend on the Lord for the supply of strength. You know, I've done Good News Club. It is draining and it is wearing. Week after week after week. And that's just me doing it as a sub. I remember one time I think I did it 2 weeks in a row, maybe 3 weeks in a row, just as a sub. And I'm like, wow, I'm whooped. It is draining. It is wearing. This year, the worker numbers are a little lower. We don't know how many children we're going to have. There are going to be all kinds of challenges there. Who will you have fighting through you? Will you do the fighting? Or are you going to let God do the fighting? Where will your reliance be? Will it be on God or will it be on yourself? Christ the victor will fight through you if you will let Him. I would encourage you to take this and then go read the rest of it and look at these truths. Or these pieces of the armor. When it says the whole armor, the word in the original is where we get our word panoply. And it means the whole, everything, the whole outfit. And it doesn't mean that you can take some of it and leave some of it behind. It means that it's all meant to work together. If you don't have some of it, then you're going to end up getting burned. It won't work right if you don't have all of it. And so take these truths. I think sometimes we try and take these truths and say, okay, I'm putting the belt on here. I think Paul is trying to draw a picture of someone going to battle. But take those truths and think of them this way. These truths, these pieces of the armor are the positional truths of who I am in Christ and what I have in Him. And it is you simply taking what Jesus has given you and what He will do through you. It is taking it and appropriating it to yourself and using it. But you need all of it. You need faith. You need truth. You need the good news. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need all of those in order for it to be complete. One more thought here, and this is where verses 18 and 19 come in. I want to talk to the saints here, those of you who aren't working in Good News Club. Do you know what you are doing? You are backing up a spiritual struggle. Don't miss the battle truths that are found in verses 18 through 19. See, a lot of times we go through the whole armor of God and we talk about the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and the sword of the Spirit and our loins girt about with truth and the shoes of peace. And we look at those and we stop there. But verses 18 and 19 actually kind of tie it all together. Paul doesn't assign a picture to it. But he says, He says, this is included in it. Look at it. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Your brethren, those of you who aren't in Good News Club, your brethren are going to struggle in a dark world of sin. Every week, your brothers and sisters are going out into the world. They're leaving the safety of the fort. They're leaving the comfort of the fort, and they are going to a place of spiritual darkness. Who has their back? Will they fight on their own? Or will they have some air cover? Who's going to be running the artillery? If we can draw the military analogy a little further. Who's got their back? One of the hymns that we sing a lot says, doesn't matter where you're at physically, you can be laid aside by toil and care, but you can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. And that is the responsibility of every person here. It would be a shame, and I'm speaking to myself as well, it would be a shame for our brothers and sisters to go out into the darkness of the world trying to bring souls to Jesus Christ, engage in that intense personal struggle, and we just said, thought about it every once in a while and didn't make it a focus. Praying always with all supplication. You can begin tonight with earnest prayer. That's what we're going to do here in just a moment. That earnest prayer can begin tonight. And let me tell you, prayer can be like Good News Club. You can go through the motions at Good News Club. We can go through the motions here tonight. Or we can, with intense supplication and perseverance, begin to cry out to our God and ask Him to start finding those boys and girls who are open to the gospel, drawing them, protecting our teachers, protecting the club, the testimony of the club, giving them the spiritual power they need, asking God to keep them well. He says that we should be watching thereunto. This prayer is to be watching. This word watching has the idea of wakeful, sleepless, and always alert with perseverance. That means it's not a one-time thing. It's something that you keep doing. You don't give up. I'll tell you from a personal, from my personal experience, persevering prayer is a supernatural spiritual discipline. It does involve your will, but you need God's strength just as much to do that as you do anything else. And so, as we gather here to pray tonight, I would encourage you saints to say, Lord, would you make me someone who perseveres in prayer? Would you make me someone who is watchful and wakeful and maybe even willing to lose sleep in order to pray for those who will be going out? Noelle was going to come on up. Where are you at, Noelle? You in here? Noelle is going to come on up. She's going to give you some ideas of some things that you can pray for here tonight. And then the pastor is going to come and lead the prayer. Good News Club workers, this is a good time for you to say, God, I don't want to go through the motions. I want to be prepared. Now, I want to be prepared every week for the struggle and to get our focus on the eternal goal that we have. And then, saints, it's a good time for us to come around them and start crying out to God and asking Him to help them. Noelle?
Hey, y'all. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Noelle, and I said earlier that I run the Good News Club at South Jackson Elementary School, and we're just going to go through a slideshow and explain kind of what Good News Club is, how you can pray, and then also some of our specific kids that go to club, just tell you a little bit about them so you feel like you know them and that you're there even though you're not. This is our third year going into South Jackson Elementary School. This is our life verse that we use for Good News Club. It says Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our main focus and goal, is to go in and preach the gospel to these kids and share the love of Jesus with them and tell them exactly, you know, who Jesus is and why he came and died for them, and not only died but rose again, and so they have hope. And our goal is to share the gospel and to show God's love, to help them grow spiritually, to give them solid foundation of a Christian faith, and to love and listen and provide guidance for them. That's one of my favorite ones. It's just the opportunity for an hour to get in there and just love on these kids. You know what? Some of them don't have the best home life. The girl that we heard about today, you know, she said she didn't have a father figure. Some of these kids, you know, they have one parent. They have, you know, they're raised by a grandmother or a granddad. You know, they don't have that love at home. And just sometimes you see those kids, they come in there and they just get so excited that somebody cares about them and says, hey, how was your day at school? What did you learn today? And it's just an absolutely amazing opportunity just to breathe into these kids and help them grow. God bless us abundantly. Last year we had 135 kids on roll. We never had that many come, but we had up to 78 kids come, and 78 elementary school kids in a gym gets very, very loud, but it's absolutely the best time ever. We averaged about 70 kids per week, and this year, Kayrie gave me the number, I believe it was this past weekend, we have 54 kids already signed up, which is great. And we always get more kids to come in throughout the year as their friends go around and tell them what they do on Wednesday afternoon. A few of our kids, y'all know Mia. She comes to church here as well, but Mia is such a blessing there. And Kayla actually got saved our first year in there, and it's just been amazing to see her grow throughout the club. She absolutely loves Miss Bonnie. When Miss Bonnie was out for a few weeks, every day she would come up to me and be like, where's Miss Bonnie? When is she coming back? So it's just great just to see our workers really get into these kids and help them grow. Haley and Luke, Haley here did get saved as well in our club, and she is growing. She'll be one of our fifth graders this year, and one of our leaders. We let our fifth graders kind of help out with the kids and stuff so they feel like they have a job. And little Luke there, he's just always got a big smile on his face. Alex is a treat for all of our Good News Club workers. They smile there when his picture comes up. He is definitely wild, but he's been there since the beginning as well, and really he has grown. He's been here to our church a few times as well, but he's just pray for Alex, because he is growing and he is learning, and he has, as far as I know, he is not saved. But if y'all would help him and pray for him. These are a few more of our kids that are getting ready to play a game, but just so you can put some names with their faces. Let me tell you a little bit about Chastity there. Chastity has also been in our club since our first year there. And Chastity just has such a big heart and burden for her family. She is always coming up to me and asking me, you know, what I think about, you know, her family situation, her sister. Her sister's a little crazy, and she's in and out all the time with different guys. And Chastity's really worried about her. Her sister's about 16 years old, and she just has a really big heart for her and a burden for her. And she just grows every day, and it's just amazing to see her burden for others. So y'all keep Chastity in mind, as the Lord, I'm sure, has big things planned for her. And Lainey is just, she's so bright and cheerful. She's just the sunshine to our club. She's always smiling, always has a story to tell us, and just great. Emma, Kate, and Hope, they both got saved in our club as well, and they are growing and such a highlight. And But overall, we had 19 kids come to Christ last year, and it was just absolutely amazing. And we hope that all 19 of those kids will be back this year so we can really help them grow in God and just further their Christian walk. Please continue to pray that God will bless this ministry, that more kids will come to the club for our workers, and that kids will get saved. Also, I want to add a few more to that. has to pray that it is a big praise that we are even allowed to be in the school. I know a lot of people higher up don't like that we're there, and thankfully we've been able to continue, but I ask that you'll pray for that as the years go on, that we will be able to be a part of in the school systems and everything. For our workers specifically, for, like they said, we don't have as many as we have in the past, but we do have a good solid group. I'm really excited to see what all God has planned for us, but pray for health, and then also for us to have spiritual health as well, to be in there and be able to talk to the kids, and we'd have a lot of them come in, and most importantly, that these kids will get saved and everything. And thank you all for your prayer and support.